Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the MediCafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in astrology, human design, and the gene keys today. Yay! It's Wednesday, hump day. That's always such an interesting word, isn't it? Hump, we're up at the top, and then we're going to swing down to the weekend, right? So we're halfway to the weekend. Yay, I'm ready for the weekend already, except it's been sort of an exciting week. And I'm really kind of thrilled with some of the way things are turning out, even though there've been these like irritants, little pins stuck in me along the way. That's okay, right? Because the general tenor of the energies right now are really good. And I like that, right? I like that there's good energy. I like even some of those little stick pins, because they remind me that I too am learning and moving forward on the evolutionary scale. I'm not just sitting here, not doing anything, not learning anything. I have purpose and I have progress to show for it. So there you have it. That's my take already on this week, and I'm still ready for the weekend. I really do enjoy having the opportunity to sleep in and to just leisurely get up and do whatever it is that I want to do, and then go along my day. Not that I don't like getting up and getting ready to come on air and be with you all. I love that too. But just something about the weekends makes me go, ah, whatever it is, I don't have to do it unless there's something fun going on. So let's see. Good morning. We have Mimi with us and Rebecca. Great to see you. She says, good afternoon from Spain. Oh my goodness, girl, you are such a world traveler. Last I knew, you were in Costa Rica. And you've been on air with us from Sweden, I believe. You've been on air with us from Canada. You just get around, and I love that. So I hope you're having a great time in Spain, or that there's something greatly productive going on there for you. Mimi says good morning to everybody, and I guess other people are slow joining in. I see Colleen, and I see my cousin Joanne. Great to see you out there. And so let's chat about what is happening today. The big news today, Saturn turns direct. Yes, it is the last of the big three that were all turning retrograde at the same time in April. If you remember, it was Jupiter first, and then Pluto, and then Saturn. And now, let's see, we have Jupiter in forward motion, and we have Pluto that's still retrograde, but Saturn is now forward, and we still have Neptune and Uranus in retrograde. So we have three retrograde planets, but Saturn now going forward. And when Saturn turns direct, it changes again the nature of the lessons that we're learning, or of the challenges that we might face. And when it's turned retrograde, we're sort of pushing those things inward. So we're having to change on the inner world. We may bump up against our beliefs. We may bump up against our own self-talk and how we've not, you know, been treating ourselves well. We may come up against any number of things that are going on the inside. When Saturn turns direct, then the energy changes, and we're able to see again the effects of our inner changes on the outer world. So we're again sort of being more outwardly expressed. Now, a reminder, take a look right now at what you've learned since April 29th. April 29th was the day that Saturn turned direct. So between, you know, if you bracket that time period, it takes up literally the whole of the summer and the last part of the spring. And what was going on with you? What shifts have you seen moving through you? What responsibilities have you maybe shed? Which ones have you gotten more clear about are your true responsibilities? Because now becomes the time to mind your responsibilities, right? In the outer world, things that you've committed to, the strategies and goals and the plans that you've put into place are now ready to be enacted, right? To take that stepwise progression, to move one foot in front of the other, right? You got to take action. That's one thing Saturn does. It really compels us to have a plan. And if you have the plan, it's not just, okay, have the plan. You have to dust it off and you have to work the plan. So that's what we are doing at this point in time, dusting off the plan? Are you prepared now to really ground in those goals that you've set for yourself for what you're going to do for the rest of the year, right? We have, one season left really before we get to the winter solstice. We're, right now at that point where we're, the harvest time of this year, 2019. So out of all of the things that all of the seeds that you've planted this year, which ones do you really want to see come into fruition? And those are the ones that you want to focus on. So moving forward now, we have this wonderful energy, even the Saturn direct itself. If we took a look at the chart today for the Saturn direct, we would see that it's really positive flowing energy. And it's in a great relationship with the moon. It's in a great relationship. Let's see if I run down the list. It's trining Uranus, although widely, and it is in a sextile to Neptune. Remember, this is a big one that we've been dealing with all year long as part of our goals, part of our plan of action for the year had to include a spiritual component. If you remember way back, December and January, we were talking a lot about this as that Saturn sextile Neptune and the Jupiter square Neptune were really showing us where we have to embody, truly embody our divine being within our physical being or viewing them as one. We talked about that earlier this week, where you're not divine and human separate from one another, you're both. And so you have to pay attention to both your physical and also the spiritual components of who you are. And Saturn in a sextile to Neptune has been helping us to do that, factoring in the spiritual as well as the physical in everything that we do. So moving forward now, Saturn in forward motion begins to let us see the results of some of the work that we've been doing, right? We are getting the karmic reward for the steps that we've been taking. Now, sometimes what gets exposed after the retrograde turns to direct. So we're in that wonky period right now. But as Saturn gains steam and begins to really move forward, we get to see the chinks in the armor. We get to see where we didn't really set that foundation very well. So we have an opportunity then to course correct or change or strengthen whatever it is that has the exposed weakness. That might be a weakness in your plan. That may be a weakness in the execution of the plan. It may be that you didn't think of all the steps. Maybe you skipped a step. Maybe you're not a manifesting generator and you skipped a step and you shouldn't have. So we have this opportunity now to course correct and evolve our goals, our dreams, and our visions, whatever those might be. They might be spiritual, they may be physical, they may be financial, they may be health. Whatever it is that you had set out for yourself to achieve this year is what it is that you really want to focus on now. And making sure maybe you've already put those things out there and it's time to really strengthen them up and shore them up for the long haul. Saturn likes that long haul look. It's not just for today. Is it going to stand the test of time? So anything that you're working on right now, is it going to stand that test of time? Is it going to last? Does it have lasting impact for the people involved or for you personally, for your life in general, for your evolution, right? So, thinking about all of that, then, when is the next time that Saturn turns retrograde? And that's going to be a big one because Saturn is now in the last 6 months of his transit through Capricorn. So, we've had him in Capricorn now almost 2 years, and he spends about 2.5 years per sign where we have been really, strengthening our first destroying the old and building something new. And that's happening on all levels in our lives, right? So he is now moving forward and will stay moving forward until he actually moves into Aquarius, which will be in March, April of 2020. And then he turns retrograde at 1 degrees of Aquarius in May of 2020, will retrograde back to Capricorn and finish up that whole 2020 deal and then go back forward again. So we have that dance of Saturn next year is really what is causing, not causing, it's just another one of the components, let's say, of the 2020 major changes that are in effect for us. And of course, now that Saturn has turned direct, and as soon as Pluto turns direct, we have like nothing stopping that crashing platform of our lives and the rebuilding of the new platforms, whatever that's going to look like in the outer world. And you see it, like for instance, Brexit. You know, there's a lot of anxiety around what is that going to mean for those of you who live in Europe if they're calling it a hard Brexit if they just pull out without any plan. That isn't going to be a good one. If they had an astrologer would tell them, you don't do that, right? You don't do that when Saturn is in Capricorn. You have a plan and you execute the plan. You don't just do a hard Brexit exit. You just don't. So somebody needs to talk to the powers that be in England or the UK and let them know a hard Brexit is a really bad idea from an astrological point of view. Who am I? I'm just, you know, I'm a little American here. Let's see who else is joining us this morning. Christine Erickson, great to see you. Linda, good to see you. Chanel, good to see you. Lynn and April, nice to see you this morning. April, we haven't seen you in a while. I'm glad you're here. Lynn, good morning. Natasha, good morning. Asa is back with us this morning. Kristen, good morning to you. Kristen, I hope you're feeling well. I was thinking about you the other day and wondering how your health has been. And hopefully, this Saturn turning direct empowers you to continue your healing progress. So, we have best wishes for you out there with that. Okay, let's take a look at what the moon is up to today. The moon, as I said earlier in the broadcast, is in Taurus. It is in Taurus all day. There is no dance of the void, of course, moon, and the moon is in a smooth flow with everything it touches today. Yay! How often do we get that without a square or without an opposition or any of those minor sesquiquadrates or, you know, sometimes the moon is, you know, creating chaos, but today she is creating flow. She is flowing quite nicely with Saturn, the South Node, Pluto, and Mars. Surprise, surprise, right? Mars. And also in a sextile to Neptune. So it feels today to me like we are firing all of our pistons, right? Everything's moving. Our actions are moving. Our spiritual world is moving. Our mental world is moving. And our physical world is moving. So we're able to take action and do things and think properly, speak properly, perhaps. Although a sextile to Neptune may make things very intuitive. You may be getting impressions of things and not quite knowing or understanding what they mean. But if you're willing to just hold that space for that aha to come, then everything should be smooth working today. I like it, right? Today's a great day. And there is one thing that you want to be aware of. I put plan ahead for tomorrow's void of course moon. It is literally an all-day moon that will be from 6:57 a.m. till 1:58 p.m. my time. So for you all on the East Coast, literally that takes up your whole workday from about 9 in the morning. Let's see, that'll be 9:57. So 10 in the morning all the way to 4:58. So just before quitting time, 5 p.m. So literally all day, moon is in void. So today, take your action. You know, do the things today that you really can't do under a void of course moon. Start something new. Interview for a job or put out your resume for a job. Build a resume. Start a new project. Those are the things you can do today that tomorrow will all be put on hold again for most of the day. And after that void is over tomorrow, the moon will be in Gemini. The energy of the mind speeds up and the moon in Gemini becomes very communicative. So that's what we're looking at for tomorrow. But because that literally turns void before I come on air, I thought I would pre-warn you about that. Okay, so let's see. Any questions out there? Not yet. If anybody has any questions, go ahead and put those out in the chat. Let's look at the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. It is nine breathing. For those of you newly joining us, we are looking every day now at the Pleiadian Earth energy astrology because it is about, instead of the mechanical day-to-day calendar like we have in our Gregorian calendar right now, which really has no meaning to us other than Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? What does that mean? Well, Wednesday means that it's hump day. We're almost to the weekend. Thursday means, oh, one more day of work, those kinds of things. But it doesn't really reflect to us what's happening in our growth or evolution as a species on this planet. Or, any kind of spiritual component at all, right? There's just really no meaning there. When we look at ourselves through the Pleiadian calendar, which was also the Mayan calendar. So the Mayans likely got it from the Pleiadians. And so there's these two calendars that are working side by side, very similar, just different names to the days. So the first energy, the number energy, is the universal energy of the day. It means that no matter where we are on the planet, no matter where we are in the universe, in this solar system, we are all resonant to the energy of nine. And nine energy is harmonizing energy. So today's a day to bring more harmony, to, you know, sync everything up and harmonize it, get it flowing and synced up in a pattern that is smooth and flowing. So harmonizing energy. Then we pair that with the earth energy of the day, which is breathing. Breathing is air energy. It is ik in the Mayan calendar, which was the wind. So here we have a day for disseminating information, for picking up ideas and sharing them, learning new things, harmonizing and integrating the new into the known, right? So we're not just holding with the old here or with what we already know. We're entering new information into the system and harmonizing that new with what we already knew to be true. And on the negative side, or the more lower frequency energy, this can be people being fickle or unpredictable. So you just want to be, you know, sort of aware of how other people are being affected by these transits when they are not really in the know. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Rebecca. Rebecca, that reminds me. I totally forgot to bring the codon ring thing this morning. Dang it. So she says, sorry, what is the last aspect the moon is making before it goes void? Okay, lost connection. Okay, so let me see. I didn't say, because that's for tomorrow, but the last aspect the moon will make before it turns into void tomorrow will be a trine to the sun. That's not bad. That really isn't bad, a trine to the sun. So they're working well together. Your emotional state, your inner world is working well with your outer world and your ego. So then we're left with that for the day. That isn't a bad one at all. Better than some of the other Pluto ones that we've had over the last several months, where the moon leaves us hanging with Pluto. But with hanging with the sun and a trine is a good thing, right? Smoothly flowing energies. So that's good. And yeah, I got you, Rebecca. I'm so sorry. I totally forgot about the codon ring. We'll bring that tomorrow. Note to self, codons. All right. So now I want to switch over to human design and the gene keys for a moment. And I want to take a deeper look at what are going to be the fear energies that we're going to deal with over the next, how many weeks, 8 weeks or so. Yesterday, I gave you the dates from September 17th till November 5th, where starting with Mercury and Venus, and then ultimately the Sun, and at some point Mars even, I'm sure, gets into the game here and begins to put us through our paces in the spleen center of your human design, where all of the gates there are related to time, health, healing, intuition, and double as fear gates or paralysis points. And because we're still dealing with so many shadows on this planet, you know, we're working through them, right? This is our opportunity to work through these shadow energies. And of course, how do you dispel a shadow? You talk about it. You expose it to the light. You bring it up, right? We bring these things up, not so that you'll focus on the shadow, but that you will see it and you will release it and you will move higher in the frequency field from the shadow into the gift. That's ultimately my goal, is to move, see where that shadow is operating in my own life, and ultimately move up the ladder of energy so that I'm now reflecting the gift, at least, if not the city. Now, the city, of course, takes much more practice in living the gift, I would imagine. By the way, I'm even wearing my Saturn earrings today to commemorate Saturn's direct motion, right? Sometimes if I just pay homage to him, he's nicer to me. It's funny, when I looked at relocation astrology for my own chart, And no matter where I live along the West Coast, and I cannot see me living anywhere but along the West Coast, I live under my Saturn line. So, Saturn, I have to make Saturn my friend because no matter where I live, California, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, down into Baja, Mexico, I'm living under that Saturn line. So, unless I want to move east, which I do not because I love the Pacific Ocean, I'm going to be sitting under that Saturn line. So, he is now my best buddy. And I try my best to work with him because I'm also entering into my second Saturn return here shortly. So Saturn can be your friend. I guess it's all in how you look at the energy of each of the planets. So, because you can elevate, right, the relationship out of the shadow energies and up into the gift energies, it's all up to you. So let's look at the first gate, then, or gene key. They are alternate expressions of one another. The gene keys are deeper. The human design gate is a little bit more superficial. That doesn't mean that's not demeaning human design at all. It's just saying, hey, this one looks at this and this one goes, okay, let's look at it multidimensionally and what do we get? So the gene key 18 is the first one, or the gate 18 is the first one to be triggered with Mercury. And now today, Venus has moved up to that gate. I printed up the human design chart for the day. Here we are. We're still in reflector looking mode. But if you'll notice, we have gate 18 now. I should highlight it, then you guys can see it better. We now have Mercury and Venus sitting at the gate 18. And then we also have Saturn, the South Node, and Saturn and the South Node, and no, Pluto's at 54, at 38. So we have a couple of gates that are synced up. And when gates sync up, I should use a different color, but now you can see there's two sets of gates that are, doubled up for us energetically. So that tells us there's more focus on these energies, the energy of 18, which is literally the gate of judgment or criticizing or perfection, and then the gate 38, which was the gate of struggle or fight and picking the right battle, the right thing to stand for, the right struggle to bring purpose into your life, right? So the purpose of creating more purpose. Out of purposelessness comes a purpose when we struggle for with the right things in our lives. So in other words, you can let go of everything that, is not worth fighting for and stick with the things that are worth fighting for. And in that struggle becomes purpose. So I hope that makes sense for people. We were talking about that a lot yesterday, and I noticed a couple of comments about that after the show where people are recognizing, hey, I have gate 28 purposelessness. And I totally resonate with that. And a lot of you millennials do have the gate 28 triggered by either Uranus or Neptune in your charts. So gate 18 in the gene keys is in its lowest expression in the shadow, judgment. And out of judgment, we're walking the path through integrity to perfection. And what we see as we study that gene key, if we study the gene key 18 in the siddhic state, siddhi, siddhi, we see that perfection is in the moment, that it's not some faraway goal that we have. It's okay to have goals and it's okay to want to work, and get better, but everything in the moment, in the now, is perfect. So perfection is in the now. And interestingly enough, this gate is on the spleen, which only has energy in the now, right? It's not like the emotional center that has clarity over time. The spleen has clarity in the moment. It lives in the now. So that spleen center and all the gates on it are all about time in the moment, which is why when we talk about fear, fear in the spleen is the moment you choose it, you turn and face it, and you recognize it, and you embrace it, and you let it go. You just sort of say to fear, I see you, but we're doing this anyway, right? I see you. You think I need more perfecting, but I'm perfect the way I am, and this is what we're going to do. Then it dissipates, disappears. It may come back, but it may never come back, right? You may have finally beaten that one fear that keeps dogging you. So we're working on this judgmental energy, this criticizing energy. Remember yesterday I said it's so far away from the throat, right? The spleen isn't, this is not a gate that 18 is so far away, right? Here's 18. And there's no direct outlet from 18 to the throat. The only way it can get up to the throat to be expressed is through other gates. So inevitably, criticism, judgment, perfection seeking cannot be done without an invitation to do so. And the invitation to criticize someone else, even if it's constructive criticizing or constructive criticism, needs to be done with an invitation, right? It is not okay to just go up to somebody and say, you know, blue does not look good on you. You should be wearing some other color, right? Because that person didn't ask you for that. And it may or may not be received the way that you intended to send it to them. And it may hurt somebody's feelings. And then it could even create a fight between you and that person, right? How many times have you done that, right, in your life? Think back to, you know, even to your siblings. It's great with siblings, right? Like you can just lay it out there and go, that looks terrible on you. But that hurts the relationship. And whether it's coming from a good place or not in your heart, it wasn't invited out of you. But if somebody says to you, hey, how do I look? You know, does this dress make me look fat? Then they've asked you to perfect them in that case. So it's sort of a little bit of a game that we play. But where it shows up the worst for us is when we're judging ourselves. And in judging ourselves, we often stop ourselves from taking that next step or putting our work out to the world because we just think it's not good enough yet, right? I don't like that sentence, so I'm not going to put out that book or that article or whatever. So we have to watch this because the energy here could stop us from going out in the world and putting our work out there in the world. Now, in human design, this is called the gate of improving. It means that this gate wants, let me back up for a second. So the gates aren't just out there in some kind of, you know, la la land. They're connected to another gate at the other end via a channel. And if we look at this channel, this is the channel of perfecting and or the channel of judgment or criticism. It's the being critical. And at the other end, the gate at the opposite end of 18 is 58, which is the gate of joy and bliss, right? But in its lowest, the gate 58 is dissatisfaction. So if you sit at one end of the gate, gate 18, or one end of the channel, forgive me, the gate 18, and it's about perfection, what it's seeing is the other side where it could be totally within joy and bliss, but there's a feeling, a dissatisfaction with the final product. So both shadows, dissatisfaction at the gate 58 and judgment or perfection at the gate 18 can create this channel of stopping ourselves from moving forward. So we really do need to work through that energy. Even if it's open for you, there may be times like now where one end or the other is triggered and you suddenly find yourself caught up in the perfection trap. And that happens to be the perfection trap, happens to be the more rebellious form of the expression of the shadow where we are being very judgmental. We're vocalizing our dissatisfaction or our judgment of ourselves or our product or someone else's product or themselves. We become hypercritical of ourselves or others. The more repressed version of this gate or this energy, this shadow energy, is compromising. Now, compromise in and of itself isn't a bad thing. So don't mistake. I'm not saying don't compromise. But what if you're compromising something that's very important to you, right? Maybe you're compromising lowering the quality of something to make somebody else's judgment not, you know, appear so harsh. So here in the more repressed version, we don't want to compromise our values. We don't want to compromise what our intention was in putting something out there in the world, right? We need to improve over time, and we need to be able to put our work out there and let it stand on its own merits and then improve it as time goes on if need be, Right? But don't let it stop you. In other words, this is a place where we want to stop things from happening. And then in that, we end up in fear around never being perfect. Like the time is never going to be perfect, or this product is never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. When in fact, in reality, you are perfect in every moment. Hope that makes sense for everybody. Rebecca, Venus return. Venus return. You're having a Venus return today? I don't know what that means exactly, but you might be having a Venus return, right? If your Venus is in the sign of Libra, then you're having a Venus return, maybe, depending on the degree. Every planet, by the way, in your chart goes through a period of time when it has a return, right? Your solar return is when the sun comes back to the place it was when you were born. A Venus return then would be when Venus returns to the same spot she was when you were born. And all of the planets do this, right? Even the outer planets. We just don't live long enough to have a Pluto return, right? That would be 250 years or so. And when we live that long, someday in the future, then we'll have Pluto returns. A Saturn return we have every 28 and a half years, right? So we have about three in one lifetime. And the inner planets return sooner. Mars is a 2-year process, and Mercury about a little less than a year. And same with Venus, just around a year, just less than the Sun's. And Jupiter returns every 12 years. And let me see, go out. Neptune, we won't have a Neptune return in our lifetimes because that's a 165-year process. Uranus returns happen at age 84. So I noticed as I just look out there in the world that a lot of people choose to leave the planet. If they make it through, they're up to their 80s, they often check out somewhere around 83 to 85-ish. Right around their Uranus return. If they make it past the Uranus return, they often live much more into their 90s or even up to their 100s. Now, that's my untested but observed opinion. There you go. Okay, hope that all made sense to everybody. Rebecca says, I'm laughing because everything you just mentioned is so me. Oh, yes, indeed. Chanel says, I have Jupiter and Saturn at gate 18. That seems like a lot. Well, I totally get it, Chanel, because I have Jupiter and Saturn not at gate 18, but at gate 60, the gate of acceptance. And I'm always having to find myself just in acceptance of what I can do, what I can't do, what's available, what's not available. For you at gate 18 with Jupiter and Saturn there, remember Jupiter represents, in human design, represents the rewards that you receive, the beneficial effects of having learned your Saturn lessons. And if you have Saturn at gate 18, you're learning the proper use of criticism and judgment and critical thinking. Perfecting. So there's a bit of a perfectionist probably within you. And how is that perfectionist harming you or helping you, right? That's what you're looking at. So when you're able to mediate the negative effects of that perfectionism, then you reap the Jupiter rewards of that, which is perfection, right? The Jupiter rewards in its highest is going to be integrity and then perfection. So for you, what I would suggest, Chanel, is to get the Gene Keys book out or go, Google Gene Key 18 and see what information you can find and really, really make it your own. Learn that one because everything in your life depends on your karmic rewards depend on that, learning those lessons. I've had to really dig deep into that gate 60 because my Jupiter and Saturn are doing that same thing, sitting at one gate. And it's not necessarily fun either. But once you start to understand it and look at it deeper, then it's not so much a problem anymore as it is empowering you to really learn and embody the lessons there. I hope that makes sense to you. That's accurate. Thank you. You're most welcome. And I forgot how old you are, Lynette, but this may get easier as you approach your Chiron return, which would be age 50. And I don't think you're 50-ish yet, But you may also be in between your Uranus opposition or your midlife crisis around 40 to 42 and that period of time. So maybe that's why this is even important to you now to start really digging deep into that. If you're younger than that, great. Consciously connect with this energy now and then gain that integrity and that perfection energy. All right. Well, I can't believe it, but I have gotten through everything here that I had to share this morning. You're 38. Okay, so you are coming into your midlife crisis time. And I like to call it the midlife redirect because it's not always a crisis, although it can sometimes feel that way. But you're still a couple of years from that. And this is where Uranus comes into an opposition, and your life tends to turn in a new direction. And often at this point in time, you let go of what you're not happy with in your life, and you move more toward what really does make you happy. It was interesting for me because in 2001, when 9/11 occurred, I was just entering to my Uranus opposition, and although I was not affected personally by anything that happened in New York City with that event, it affected me so powerfully that literally my life changed within those next 6 months. I'd moved from being a sales manager of an optical company and working for an opti as an optician to becoming a metaphysician and working starting my own business as a metaphysical bookstore. And that's a profound shift. And it was a 2-year process that was really heralded by that 9/11 event and ended in about, I think it was early 2003. So it was about a 2-year process. So looking at your age right now, then you may be entering in that window of time where maybe you are experiencing dissatisfaction with the way things are going, and you're wanting to enact some changes that are more in alignment with who you want to be. Right, or with what you want to do. So, the one thing that you want to watch for then is to not beating yourself up. It's not that you're not perfect or that you have issues, it's that you are in this process of reorganizing your life over the next few years to align with more of your integrity and then leading you to perfection. God, I hope that makes sense, right? I don't mean to make it sound like you have this long road ahead of you. That's not it necessarily, but you're in a process that will ultimately lead you to finding that true space for yourself. Oh, awesome. That's great, Rebecca. She says, I highly recommend Richard Rudd's contemplation audio for the Gene Key 18 as well. It's amazing. And most of those audios are only like $3.50 or $3.95, $3.75, something like that. They're very inexpensive for the power in them. And there's something luscious about that man's voice, I tell you, right? He has a wonderful voice for meditation and contemplation. So if that's a great idea, thank you for sharing that, Rebecca. Kristen says she's doing well. Hallelujah. She's cancer-free. Back to work for a while now. Moved my office, healing a lot of karmic stuff. Being Capricorn, Saturn going direct is a welcome thing. Oh, I'm so excited for you, Kristen. I just can't tell you. That just gives me the giddies all over. So keep up the great work and, use your Saturn for building up your immunity and building up your life, rebuilding your life. That's awesome. And she says, thanks for asking how I am. I just period, you guys are all, every one of you are like family to me. And somebody the other day had written me a testimonial unasked. I hadn't asked for a testimonial. And she wrote in here so eloquently about what I really feel that I had no idea anybody could see how I really felt. And it was so fascinating to read it because I think of all of you as family. You're not just listeners. It's like I take you under my wing and I want to know that you're okay. I want to know that you're healing. I want to know that your life is going smoothly. I hurt when you hurt. It's the most fascinating thing in my life that I've noticed because you're never just my friend and you're never just an acquaintance. Literally, if we make a connection, you're in my heart, and then my heart hurts when you hurt. And that sounds weird, but it's true. It's my authentic self. I think it's all of that cancer rising energy. It's that emotional definition in my solar plexus. It's that 4037, which is about community and tribe and really taking responsibility for the tribe and its health. So some of you out there may feel that same way. I know often people tell me, you know, you need to get some distance. And I'm like, I can't. I just can't, because you're a part of who I am. And then it hurts often too when people, like when Vicky passed away. I mean, I thought that just was like a knife in the heart to me. But it is part of the loving energy that we have available to us on this planet for us to engage like that. And I love that energy, but it also hurts sometimes. And that's just part of the game that we're playing here on this planet. Okay, so Chanel says, thank you, Rebecca. And that's it for me today, I think. I don't have anything new to say. So today is a great day. Use it to its utmost, because tomorrow we go into a bit of a lull with the moon void. And then Thursday or Friday, the energy will shift again when we have the moon in Gemini, and we get a very busy looking weekend on tap. And that's it for me for now. Let's see, any other last questions anybody has? You know what I realized yesterday is that when I end the live broadcast, when I think I'm done, it's still, there's a lag. So a lag of maybe 30 seconds or more, where if I go back to try to download the recording right away, I'm still talking. And it's weird. It was really weird to hear myself saying something I'd said earlier, but I was still live according to this recording. So it tells me that I need to wait for maybe another couple of minutes, or at least a minute, to allow you to ask a question if you have it. Because if I let go too soon, then you may have asked the question, but I don't see it because I've already gone off air. So let's see, Mimi, great. You, the other listeners, and our weekday times has been a wonderful assistance. I love that. Thank you. And we're an assistance to one another. I love how, you know, you guys all take each other under your wings and support and send love to one another when you're hurting, or congratulating people when good things are happening. I really love that. And that's why I love doing this. It's really, you know, I was thinking the other day, I was talking to a friend. This was yesterday afternoon. And she was talking about how she has redone her schedule, and it feels so free that she's really in command of her schedule, and that she has the mornings free to do whatever she wants to do. And then she really doesn't start her work day until, I think she said noon or 12, 10 a.m. And I was like, oh my gosh, how interesting, because sometimes I would wish I had that morning to do that, but the price would be that I'm not here on the morning show with all of you guys, and I can't, that's a price I'm not willing to pay. So I'm here with you in the morning because it's what I want to do, even though it means my schedule's pretty set from 8 a.m. until the end of the day, but it still works for me. All right, everybody. Well, that is it for me today. I will see you again tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. right here in the Meta Cafe. Have a wonderful day. Much love to everybody. Bye for now.